John chapter 16 tonight. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Am I on? I never know when I've turned this thing on. Okay, good. John chapter 16. I'll start reading in verse 24 tonight and read through the end of the chapter. John chapter 16. Are you there? Say amen. All right, stand with me as I read God's word, if you would. John chapter 16, starting in, and I love this light. I'm telling you, this is what a blessing. Be able to see up here, and see your Bible and see your notes. That's wonderful. John chapter 16, verse 24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I written unto you in Proverbs, but in the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say unto you, and I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and I am come into the world. Again I leave the world, and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speaketh no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou comest from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and now come, that ye shall be scattered, and every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Speak to you tonight on cheer up. Cheer up. Let's pray. Father, bless tonight. Cheer our hearts, Lord. Draw us close to you. May you give us, Lord, a cheery heart that'll give us a cheery face, that'll seek others to try to find out the reason that we have such cheerful outlooks. And may we always put Christ first in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. To many people today, the message of cheer seems to be very strange, especially in these days of darkness and sorrow. They may ask, how can we be cheerful when there's so much grief and misery going on? We think about the shooting in schools, and we think about the misery in homes, and so much crime and drugs and so forth. We're living in a world of sadness. People are sad today, aren't they? It's difficult to find people with a smile on their face anymore. They're so sad. We're being baptized in the waters of anxiety, suffering, and death. And each day only adds to the vast army of people who are weeping and are mournful in this day and time. Is there any room for cheerfulness when we think about the fatherless children, sorrowing widows, heartbroken parents, wives and husbands and friends? How can we be cheerful when we see the brutality and the horror in our day that we live in? Yes, we can be cheerful. That's the answer. That's my whole message in a thimbleful. Yes, we can be cheerful. We can be cheerful. Let's have a little exercise tonight. Ready? Put your two index fingers right here and push up. See? Already you feel cheerful, don't you? You can be cheerful in this day and time. And our hearts have the need, and the world has a need, to find Christ-like people who have a cheer in their hearts and their face and their attitude. We can be cheerful. Cheerfulness becomes ours when we fix our mind upon the discouragement and upon the encouraging life, things of life. We never make trouble and any less by thinking about it continually. We don't help the situation. I think it was several weeks ago that Pastor Smith mentioned that He doesn't care of being around folks that are always down in the dumps. He said it discourages him. He said he'd rather be around somebody that's cheerful, that's uplifted. Made me think about actually the first thoughts of having this message. After all, the blessings of life outweigh the troubles and sorrows. Think about that sometime. Take all of your discouragements and place them in a scale. Weigh them down with your encouragements, and you'll find that there are many reasons why we ought to be cheerful. We just don't count our blessings. Sometimes just stop and count the blessings that God's done for you, all the things that he's done. Originally, cheer is associated with the countenance. The French translation using the word cheere, it means the face in French. And the word comes from the word meaning to have an expression on your face. The outward mirror of the inward memories, the good spirit that takes on you the countenance and the cheerful countenance. And so, if you're happy tonight, let your face know it. Amen. Let your face know that it's time to smile. You got something to smile about, something to be cheerful about. The Bible says in Proverbs 15 and verse 13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. And so when your heart's merry, your face is going to be merry. Amen? If your face not merry, it's because something's wrong with the heart. And so let's think about letting the heart know about your face. Cheerfulness is infectious, by the way. There's nothing like it to dispel the gloom hanging over so many lives today. Someone said that a smile is the only thing that you can get, that you cannot give away without getting it back. So if you come up to somebody and they're not smiling, smile at them. Oh, smile. Come on, smile at me. Make me feel good. There you go, there's a few of you. See, you can't give a smile away without first getting it back. It'll come back. Man made up his mind in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He was going to take a $100 bill and go to the bank, and he was going to get 100 $1 bills. And he said he was going to start at the north end of Main Street and walk all the way down to the river. And every person that he passed that had a smile on his face, he was going to give them a dollar. So he walked down the main street all the way to the river. And when he got to the river, he had 100 $1 bills in his hand. He had not met one person with a smile on their face that whole afternoon. I thought when I first read that illustration, I said, I wish I'd have been around. I'd smiled at him for a dollar. Amen. Smiled at him several times for several dollars. But he just couldn't find anybody that had a cheerful look. Christ's message of cheer is for every circumstance of life. Did you get that? Every circumstance of your life, here's Christ's answer for it, to be cheerful, to lift up your soul. Let me show you by turning to those passages which picture him cheering the hearts of those who were despondent through various causes and reasons. Let's look at several of those. Turn back to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9 and verse 2. The Bible says, and behold, they bought him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. First thing we think about that can cause cheer to the soul is forgiving sin, forgiving cheer. My heart is cheerful because I know God's forgiven my sins. I said this several weeks ago. There's not one thing I can do that make God love me more. There's not one thing I can do to make God love me less. I can be cheerful tonight because I know my soul has been cleansed in the blood of the cross. And I know tonight that I am saved. I know tonight that Christ has forgiven my sins. Christ was preaching to a crowd of eager listeners in someone's house, and all at once there was a lowering through the flat roof of the house, a palsied man in his bed, and the four men who had carried him there were determined to get him to Jesus. And the entrance was not possible because the door, and there were so many people, and they went to the roof and ascended and the stairs and lowered their friend down at the master's feet. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Son, be of good cheer." You know what the world needs? The world needs to see our faith. The world needs to see us lifting up our hearts. The world needs to see us with a smile on our face so that we can encourage others. As Jesus said to this man, "Son, be of good cheer." The message may not have encouraged the men. They wanted to see their friend healed in his body. And yet, here was Jesus trying to encourage the men by forgiving this man his sins. How much more encouragement can you be than that? Here's a man that cannot walk. Which would encourage you more? The fact that he could get up and walk finally, or the fact that he'll spend eternity in heaven and not in hell? Well, of course, the encouragement would be that someone would know Jesus as personal Savior. The message, as I said, may not encourage the men, but it sure did encourage that man. Christ knew the men, and that he was suffering because of his sin. And so the master gave him what he needed in the first place, forgiveness of sins. And I can tell you right now, you could offer me all the money that's ever been printed in the world in exchange for my salvation, I turn you down, because there's not anything worth what Christ had done for me in order for me to give it away. And then not only until then, but Jesus proceeded to deal with the results of his sin. After hearing, after healing his soul, Jesus heals his body. And so the men who came in with his back on the bed went out with his bed on his back. Isn't that wonderful? He came in one way, but it went another way out. He came in not being able to walk and lost in his sin. He went out saved and walking and carrying his bed on his back. Has your heart ever been cheered in such a message? Have you heard Jesus say, "Be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee"? Have you ever been so despondent you think, "Can God really forgive me for doing that? I failed him so much"? And yet we hear the Spirit of God say, "Be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." And if not, then know this: your heart is lacking the priceless possession. You may want many needed things from Christ, but you can't expect them unless and until you have answered his call and allowed him to heal the sin of your life. Are you here tonight without Christ as your Savior? Then you can't have any joy, because it won't get here if it's not here. It's got to start in the heart first when you know him as Savior. Well, do you look at your sin? For that, that'll only discourage you if you're constantly looking at your sin. You know, there's a lot of people that are constantly just depressed so much, and you ask them, "What's the problem?" "Well, I've got this sin, and I'm so bothered by it, and I don't know what to do about it." Well, the Bible tells us what to do about it. Cast your sin before Jesus, and that'll only discourage you looking on your sin. So look to Jesus and at the provision for your sin that he has made it there at the cross of Calvary, and be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Number two, assuring cheer. Look at Matthew chapter 14. Look at verse 27. "And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." His assuring cheer. Christ was praying alone upon the mountainside, and his disciples were out on the sea where the storms were raging, and their little ship was being tossed about like a cork in the water, and the wind was contrary, that is, it was against them, and consequently they could make no progress. And knowing their problems, the master leaves his mountainside and strides along the troubled water. And through the darkness in the midst, Peter sees the Lord, but mistakes him for a ghost. And the whole crew cries out for fear. They're answered and rebuked by Christ's message, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." When you're ever afraid, just call out to Jesus. Amen? And he can assure your heart that you can be of good cheer. Encouragement by such a message, Peter wants to leave the boat and walk across to Christ. He's bidden to do so, but on leaving the boat, he looks at the waves and feels the wind, and then he begins to sink. And his one cry was, "Lord, save me." Jesus raises him up, rebukes him for his little faith, and then enters that boat to calm the troubled waters and the troubled hearts of those on the boat. Surely, this is the message for our hearts today. This awful storm of war has broken out upon the world. Waves of sorrow are coming in thick and fast, and every human heart, we're seeing young people shot dead by lunatics in schools. Our little craft is out upon the angry sea, and it may be that despair is gripping some of our hearts and we're ready to sink. All we need to do is cry out, "Lord, save me." It's the storm that never is going to stop until we turn to Jesus and have him calm the world, calm the situation. Must we suffer and struggle alone? No. Our majestic Lord Jesus is walking across the water prepared to calm the waves and to save our soul. You can have cheer tonight. He defines the storm through the mist and the darkness coming, and his glad message, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Whenever we hear the voice of Christ in the worst conditions and the worst places of this world, we can be assured that peace can be ours, can lift our souls. Now let us fix our eyes upon him, not upon the gathering storm. When Peter looked on, and took his eyes from Christ, he looked at the storm, the wind, the waves, and he went under. And so do we go under when we take our eyes off Jesus. Get your eyes fixed on the Savior, and never take your eyes off the Savior. Any situation you're in, keep your eyes on the Savior. Don't look around at the problems. Don't look around at the waves. Look at the face of Jesus and know that he can calm every situation. Now, there are two things that are very significant in this story. When Jesus has come to the ship, the wind ceased. The storm always ceases when the divine pilot is on shore. Amen? When you know he's in charge. Man came along one day and the drunk had driven his car in the ditch. I'm sorry, I got it backwards. It was the drunk that came along. The man had driven his car into the ditch. And the drunk stopped, got out of his car and looked down and said, "Are you all right?" He said, "Yeah, God's my co-pilot." He said, "You better quit letting him be your co-pilot. You better let him take over all of it. You can't drive the thing." And so what we need to do is just give up sometimes. Let it all loose and give it all to Jesus. And here it is. I've tried to run my life too long. I've tried to be in charge too long. I want you to be the one that controls. As a matter of fact, Jesus can dismiss the storms and pour into life individually, socially, nationally, the blessed peace of God. We can have peace in this day and time. You think, can there be peace? Can there be a calmness for the souls of men today? Yes, there can be. We put our eyes on Jesus. Then number two, God still gives second chances. Aren't you glad of that? I'm a witness to the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth chance. God is constantly forgiving me and giving me another opportunity of serving him. This does not mean that any man is to have a second chance of salvation after death has removed him from earth's scene. The Bible says in John 8:21 that the issue of eternity is settled in this life, not in the life to come. So if you happen to be here tonight without Christ as your Savior, get it settled tonight. You don't know what tomorrow brings. You may not make it home tonight. You may have an accident. Make sure that you know Christ as your Savior. But there's a glorious sense in which there is a second chance for men, or rather that we should say for believers. Let's think about it. Abraham, I was thinking about this the other day when Pastor was preaching. Abraham lied and was willing to hide himself in the honor of his behind the honor of his wife, and graciously bought back to a place of usefulness and blessings when he was to do this terrible sin, and yet God used him greatly. Jacob the swindler became the Prince of God. Aaron, who officiated at the worship of the golden calf, was anointed as God's high priest, the type of Christ. Moses, the murderer, was met by God at the burning bush and was used to display the power of God before Egypt and to lead the chosen people to Canaan. Jonah, who ran away from God, was overtaken and brought safely to the field of his ministry to be an instrument of the power and the grace of God. David, the murderer and the adulterer, became the author of the Psalms, which speak more often of the coming Messiah than any other portion of the Word of God. The same blessing of a second chance is found in the New Testament. Peter denied Christ and was chosen to preach at Pentecost at the house of Cornelius to bring the Gentiles into the kingdom. Paul was in great willingness, went up to Jerusalem and was arrested at the time just before he was to offer a blasphemous sacrifice, but was made the channel of great blessing in the book of Ephesians. All these examples show us that God's word is true. No Christian need fear that God will not receive him and forgive him. Jesus has written that we are to go and sin no more. 1 John 2 tells us that we're to go, and he's the God of the second chance who takes it and causes us to be able to have that opportunity. Be of good cheer. We bound with cheer, and he encourages us when we know that through troubled waves, for us or not, he will take care of the boat because he's in it, and he'll guide us until we reach the desired haven. So cheer up. Cheer up. Christ is in the helm of the ship. Then number three, conquering cheer. Look at John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 33. These things have I written unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Conquering cheer. There are three things to notice in this conqueror's cheer. Number one, there is tranquility. In me, you'll have peace. You want peace in your heart? Put your life in Christ tonight. Christ has been speaking to him, to his disciples, about his death and resurrection, and also about the dark days that are coming. Are we in Christ? Are you in Christ? If you are, then you will know what peace and tranquility are really all about. Number two, there's tribulation. In the world, tribulation, the Bible says. Now, if we think that we're going to escape tribulation because we're Christians, then we've been doped. We've been given the wrong information, and we're going to be overwhelmed by that fact, because in this world, the Bible says we will have tribulation. That just makes us love the next world better, amen. Just makes us want to look forward to heaven a lot sooner. If we're in him, the storms will never injure us. And then you have triumphs. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. If Jesus has overcome the world, we follow him, we can overcome the world also. We can have triumph in this world. The world is with us in all of its dark, evil forces, and we're without Christ, we're a defeated foe. And then we should allow the world and all its powers to harass us any longer, because now we can turn to Christ, and we can say to old smut face the devil, my Lord is at the helm, and I'm safe in him. We have triumph in this world. And then finally, encouraging cheer. Turn to Acts chapter 23. Acts 23, look at verse 11. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. If ever Paul needed Christ's message of good cheer, surely it was at this time. He was in Jerusalem and made his decision before the Sanhedrin. The opposition against him was almost unbearable. And God's had to save Paul from being killed and placed him under arrest. And it was then that the master came and stood by his side. He encouraged his heart by saying, "Be of good cheer, Paul. Be of good cheer." If you find yourself in a more difficult spirit today than you think you could ever imagine, if you think there's some sin that would hold you back, don't be discouraged tonight. Take cheer from the fact that the master views you as a valid conqueror. You're conquerors in Christ, more than conquerors in Christ, and he's entrusted you with the job of witnessing and encouraging others along the way. Are you encouraging to others? Do you lift up the Savior in such a manner that someone has a desire to see what's in your life so that they might have it in their life also? If not, then we're not getting the job done. Be of good cheer. Recognize the fact that we are on the winning side. Amen? I never like to play on the losing side. I want to be on the winning side. And I'm on the winning side with Christ tonight. When the storms come in, he'll be at the ship. When the persecution comes in from the world, he'll be there standing side by side. When he guides us to go to a certain place, he leads us to that place and meets our every need along the way. That's why we can be cheerful. That's why our hearts can rejoice tonight, because in him we have peace and we have joy and we have all the things we need to take it from here to put it to there. A little smile on your face wouldn't hurt nobody. Amen? And it'll help the world. Be of good cheer. I'm with you tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, tonight for the cheer we have in Christ. For, Lord, how so many times when we feel like we've been defeated, so many times when we feel like we're discouraged, so many times when we wonder, can we make it through this world? And then we remember your words, there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man, but God will make a way of escape. And with that way will cause us to have the cheer and the joy and the troubleless lives that we need in you. Lord, help us to be of good cheer. Help our hearts to let our face know that there's joy in Christ. And may we share that with a lost and dying world in Jesus' name. As the pianist is playing, the heads are bowed and eyes are closed, the altar is open tonight. Do you have something in your heart that's keeping you from being cheerful? Do you have something in your life that's keeping you from having the joy to share it with others? Then let me encourage you to come to the altar tonight. You ladies, if you'd like to sit on the pew, that would be fine. If you want to bow here at the altar is open for you, open for you men. Come and let God have his way in your life. So Lord, I've tried to get joy by so many different ways, but it hadn't come. I want to take my hands off of it and give it to you and let you be in charge tonight. Come and let that be known to God tonight. The altar's open. You come. Pastor Smith's going to be coming here. He'd like to meet you and have prayer with you. If you have that need tonight, we're waiting on you tonight.